sure.
You are muted. The host would like you to unmute your microphone. You can press star 6 to unmute.
And Hayyim Azeh, Nokach Astora Torres, 10 different crowns. Brother speaks in great detail about this. And you are asking the giver, that's the case, why is it mentioned? Vayehi Vayemashmini. The Russian Vayehi, we know, is a language of sadness, of tragedy. Hoya is a loss of Simcha. So it says, Hoya Vayemashmini, such a great Simcha. Why Moshe Vayehi? And we find in other places, the Vayehi could mean Simcha, the Gemara says, that it could mean Tzar, it could be both, and so forth. But here there was a Simcha, a joy, coupled with sadness. First of all, at that particular day, the two sons of Aharon, another of Avihu, what the Eish Zora, we'll talk about later, about the strange fire, and they died at that particular day, so that in the midst of the rejoicing, initiation, and the Simcha and so forth, there was a tragedy. Another thing is they say that the tragedy was for Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, the whole initiation period, the message brings, Moran's welcome. Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan each day, took it down, put it up, and he did all the services, all the Avodah. He was the Kohen Gadol at that time. Comes the eighth day, he's out of a job. He lost it. And it brought back to his mind why he lost it, because at that time when he refused to go to Mitzrayim, he told the boys to send whoever you want. He was punished that time, and the kahuna was taken away from him. And it came at this particular moment, that was the shock of taking away. So there's a lot of a tragedy here, for personally for Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was in the form of a tragedy. By he, by Yom HaShmini in that particular day. But in general, it was a great simcha. Vayir vayivayker, the Beder says. Vayir vayivayker, vayir vayivayker. Yer Bechot, Riyasolim, creation of the world, so forth. Because it was a place of service for Rabbi Shalom, where everybody came together in one place. So it was like as if the world was created in very greasy, if not for this, that they should serve Rabbi Shalom, then I would have created the world and so forth. That would be the simcha. I'm Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva said, the Medrash says, I'm paraphrasing a lot of Medrash now. Rabbi Akiva says, Lama Nimshu Yisrael Tzipor. Why are the Jewish people compared? Bird, and you know, Yona, the concept of Yisrael, Kiyona, Uto. As he says, Hashem, just like the bird, is able to exist, to fly through its wings. The wings give him the strength, the power, and so forth. They sustain him. The same way, Zikne Yisrael, the elders of Israel, sustain the Klal Yisrael. And that's why it says here, the Kiva says, Kara Moshe Le'Aaron Le'Vona, on the day of the initiation, Zikne Yisrael, the elders of Israel should be there too. And to understand that Medrash is an interesting point. Just as the bird can't fly without wings, can't continue and so forth, the same way the Jewish people cannot continue to fly in their future towards their goal without the tradition of the elders. The elders, that gives the basis of the power, the strength, the encouragement, the hope, and the trust and so forth, that's based on the tradition that you have. And that's the concept when we say Schusovois, Rizovois, concept of the forefathers, and personally and in communally speaking, and the concept of the Jewish nation. There has to be always the Mesorah, Mesorahs have a Seder B'Yadeinu, handed down to us. Handed down, we have these wings, we can go further, we can fly to the future. Build on that. We build on the past. We build on what the elders teach us. And that's what Rabbi Akiva is making this particular comparison over here. And that's why it's called Zikri Yisrael, or called especially in this particular time, because they are the foundation and the basis of the past for the future. As the for every person to consider, that's Yisrael, then Shimon the owner. The fact that Bernie says, same way you have to have the skeinim behind you. If you cut off the skeinim, you say, I'm on my own, I make my own religion, and so forth, I cut off the past, it's over. You're not connected to Sinai, not connected to the Moshiach. That's the concept of the Sora, so I say to be a name. And we say the concept of the Sora is a Siyam Retire to the first place. The concept of tradition, of the Torah, that's the Siyam, that's the protection, that's the gather of the Torah and the continuity, the perpetuity of Torah forever, eternally, in that sense. So, Moshe initiated our it would be a great simcha. It's interesting over here. Rashi, the parasha, is very brief and just states that Aaron was ashamed, bashful, ashamed to go. And Moshe Rabbeinu said to Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aaron, the platform, I'm like, Moshe, I'm out of voice. Why are you embarrassed? Why are you ashamed? The Kafnit character, the Kafnit character. You were chosen for this. You were given a job. Go do it. That's what Rashi brings over here. There is what you call a Mosif Rashi. The Rashi brings from a different place. You have more Zvok in various places. And they bring in that particular Rashi, which really coincides to Rashi over here. Over there, Rashi says a little more in detail what is this Mosif that Aaron HaKohen was sort of in doubt and sveikus and hesitating, so to speak, to God. Rashi says over here, I'm not going to go through the whole Rashi, the pretty big Rashi, but part of it, as Rashi says, when Aaron HaKohen said Aaron, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Aaron is more choshev than I am. And through his korbanos and the avoda and so forth, everything should be accepted. So we said, the fisha kol shiva shimei ha-meluim. All the 7 days of initiation, she'amidu in Moshe, the Mishkan, the Moshe, as I said before, put up the Mishkan, he did all the avoda, etc., etc. Well, it shows by Shkina. The Shkina was not there. Meaning, there wasn't a divine presence. There was not a feeling of a divine presence. We'll leave it that way. I'm not going to go to try to bring that into understanding clearly. But spiritually, the divine presence did not rest. It seems on the acts of what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Boy, Yisrael, Nichlonen. The Jewish people were like they were taken aback, they were embarrassed, they were ashamed. What's going on over here? Along with the Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, Kol HaTareach HaZeh, all this bother, what we're doing, and all that, and so forth. And the Shin is not here. It's supposed to be Mechaper and the eagle, and the golden calf, for the now the Mishkan and the Avodah and so forth. So he says, there goes the Tziva Hashem, that we have Aaron and Aaron HaKayin, in the schools of Aaron HaKayin, it will come into being. But Aaron was hesitating, and he saw when he came in to do the Avodah, as the Ramban brings over here, Oy Aaron Roya Shabizbeach, Shabizbeach had like four corners. These corners came up, and they looked sort of like horns, so to speak. So what Aaron saw in front of him, a picture of an angel. He saw like as if he saw a calf, a golden calf. And therefore he said, I'm not worthy of going in over here. It looked to me like the angel as well that I inadvertently and so forth made for the Jewish people. And the Talmud Yosef brings it also from Chazal. Kevan the Choma Aram. Aaron saw Magbucha, the Mizbeah, the Karnoi, it looked like a calf. He looked at him as Mizbeah to serve God, and he saw a golden calf. The Chatosi led me serve it. My iniquities are before my eyes. That was Boish. That was the basis for the bashfulness and the embarrassment and feeling that he had. It's to feel a link up the God of Mizbeah. He's afraid to go further, afraid to go to Mizbeah. I don't know, Moshe. Moshe said to him, he says, no. Orders, Minda. You have to go. Go to the Babiko. But you have the hate, that's good. You go with the hate. The Chatosi led me something. As David HaMelech said, my iniquity is always before my eyes. But Shivisi Hashem led me something. But the Baruch is also before my eyes. Which means my iniquities are here to formulate remorse and regret for me, but they are not here to stop me from continuing to do what's correct. And that's the union of Tomid, as we say. Chatosi Negi Tomid. And she be Hashem the Negi Tomid, and still, which means I still have to do what's correct, what's right. Which means the person should not give up in despair because of the iniquity. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aaron, "You have the iniquity. You go. Talk with it. You know your sin. You know your sin. You have to tshuva, but you have to continue on. And you got to deal with the kach of charta to the kavonas. And the kavonas will ultimately bring that salvation." And Rashi says something further, the next place over here, Rashi says that when they saw that, they were both mispalil, the shows of Shkina, and the Shkina came. They both mispalil to the poison, that he should accept the carbonus of iron and so forth, even with the iniquities, he feels his sins, but that's good. He prince that takes along his iniquities with him, and therefore the Shkina came about. So what I want to bring out from here is an interesting point. I could have gone more to this particular medrash than that, but I brought out the salient points that I need and brought out. In general, it's against the nature of the person what Aaron did. Normally a person, when you're involved with people and so forth, the tendency is to throw off the sin to someone else, to try to get out of it and so forth. The idea of admission of guilt and so forth, is not the normal and the average person who try to, as we say in Jewish, trying to get out of it. He didn't mean it. Didn't mean it was inadvertently. He meant really good. He thought Moshe would come down, so he makes it. That's nobody wants to take the blame. He tried to push off the blame in a sense. The concept of Sumira, we learn from here, is a tremendous concept that a person must always face up to the issues, which means that we find by Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, by Moshe Rabbeinu himself, where it says that a little later we have it, and I want to bring it in together with this, where Moshe Rabbeinu castigated Aaron's sons why they didn't eat from the korban that they brought a particular day with Nodav Avihu, at that time when they were killed, and Aaron said to him, it's not proper, he reminded him that it's like you did, that they weren't supposed to eat from the korban, the chatos in that time. And Vayishma Moshe, Moshe heard, Vayita Mieno, and he was happy. He accepted what Aaron said to him. And Rashi makes a statement over there that he accepted what he said. Vayita Mieno, Haida, Moshe Rabbeinu admitted, the light Moish, same word said by Aaron before. She was not ashamed to say Lishamati. I wasn't told that. You're right, Aaron, it's a good point you're bringing up. But I didn't know about it before. No. I admit it. I knew it and I forgot. As the Talmud Jonathan brings over here, not only that, but he was happy. And he went out publicly to make an announcement. Happy Kriza, he made a public proclamation, the Mashisa in the among the Jewish people, the whole Machane, to say, I know who the Salam is, Hilchusa. I was the one that forgot the Halacha. And Aaron, my brother, Itkayos Ali, he reminded, he told me what Halacha is. He didn't have to do that. Go out and take a whole speech about it too. Most people, when they lose an argument and so forth, when it comes to something like that, they try to not only try to get out of it, they try to back and forth unless you got them up against the wall. They try to quiet it down and so forth. He goes out and make a whole announcement over here. And they ask on Rashi. Rashi makes a statement that Rashi wasn't ashamed to say, he didn't say, like, Shamati, I didn't know. But he admitted. So, the question is, Rashi, would we expect any better from Moshe Rabbeinu? And Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't admit. Who else would admit? As he says, Birkei Avos, Chacham, one of the attributes of the Chacham is that he's a Moshe Rabbeinu. He admits to the truth and so forth. And see, Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't do it. What's the big deal that Moshe did it? Of course we'll do that. What else? How else would he react? The answer is that in every argument, in every case and so forth, there are possible ways out. Even though it might not be the truth to the extent, but it's a legal way out, now loophole. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu was brought down in the commentaries. Could have had a loophole here. He, without saying that he didn't know about it, didn't know. But he had to make a decision. If he were to say, in the sense that he admitted that he forgot, it would be denigrating the Torah. There's an argument that's brought down by the commentaries, the Haredim. Why? You see the Torah from the Rabbi Shalom. Isn't that what he means? You just forgot about it. He told you this and this and this and just slipped your mind up. That means the Torah is not that important. You also forget these things. This thing that you had to bring down, Moshe Rabbeinu, could we call it a Torah? So maybe, he said, it's Eitz Lasos Hashem. In order not to make a fool of Hashem, maybe I should say better than I wasn't told, that I could deny it so forth, double check here. Because I wasn't told. So at least they wouldn't think that I was told that it wasn't important to me and that I forgot about it and so forth. No, Maar Jabele zegt nou, check je ons. Ik ben wel check je terug. Laat het doen wat ze right. Maar hou het huis. You don't think for Chilul Hashem at that particular case. All of a sudden, a person becomes religious and he's worried about Chilul Hashem. You do what the Torah tells you. You're not supposed to tell Sheker. You don't tell Sheker. You don't utilize that particular means of doing things. What I'm saying is over here that on both sides, Surmei Ra, when a person goes away from evil, the tendency is that we try to project that I didn't do it, and I didn't mean it, it really was others, some people others involved, it wasn't me. The Gemara says in Tanis that on a fast day, when there's no rain, so forth, for a long time, they have to take out the bina from the shul out into the street. And all the people have to stand around the bina in the street and pray and daven over there for rain. What is the purpose? As they say, everything will bring, that the purpose is that the person should feel embarrassed and ashamed. And because of the iniquities, you took out the shul into the street, and you had to stand in the street and daven and so forth. It's like an embarrassment and a shame. But if each person feels that the other guy is the fault, not me, he's a chayter, I'm not a sinner. So why would he say such a thing? So you see, the world says, see from there, that everybody has to feel that it's he that's responsible. Each one has to feel his obligation, responsibility. You cannot reject the others that I need to seriously be a layer. As the Pasuk says in the Tzogin, I'm okay. It's the other guy that caused it. The other people caused the trouble. No. It's taken outside. Everybody should be there, that everybody is responsible. Everybody's part of that particular activity. That's part of that action. That's what the Yisrael of Aaron HaKohen. He didn't, there were, people made the angel. The sins that they committed were much greater than Aaron. They danced for the angel. With the Zohar, the commentaries bring, Aaron just made it by accident. It was a mistake, etc., etc. And yet he felt on himself that it's because of him. It's not me, the component not being accepted. And he was ashamed to go in. Even though they committed so much more errors, the Jewish people committed at that time, that they were really the ones that were responsible for that. They were punished and 3,000 were killed and so forth. And yet he felt, no. That's the try. Each person has to toss his neck in stomach. I have to know that my part of iniquity is there, that I sinned and I have to do tshuva, no matter what. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. And if a person does that, automatically it comes together with the Moshe Rabbeinu as well. And the same way goes in the other part. I say toich, which is even more, doing good. Many times people have different shmanat tzibur. We project to others to do good. Like the Nisim said, let them give to the Mishkan. Whatever's left over, we'll give, so forth. A person takes himself out of the cloud. That doesn't involve himself in the doing of Asei Toiv, doing of mitzvah and so forth. The Chazal bring that the pshat is that just like by an Aveira, a person is punished. For example, even if you do Yafi Zoyev, Aveira Kala Kiva Chavura, a light sin, iniquity, and also to a grave sin. Why? The idea when a person commits the sin, he's also, there's a what you call a claim against him, punishment. At the time, he could have done a mitzvah at that time. Could have done something good. And you wasted your time and you did an avarian also. So there's a cheshbon for that too. When a person does something good, on the other hand, he's not really rewarded for what he does good. But in a sense, he rewarded it that he didn't do an Aveira, he could have done it that time. Just like the other way. He said over here too, he didn't do an Aveira, he did a mitzvah. In fact, he more agrees in Kiddushin that if a person sits and he's just sitting in sleeping, not doing anything, Yoshev Bottle, but he didn't do an Aveira, is Malon, of course, he lost a mitzvah. He gets a credit as if he did a mitzvah also. Because the mitzvah, they didn't do an aveira. So we see the person is always held responsible for his activities, negative, or in a sense, positive. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, would admit that he was wrong over here and so forth, but he taught Moshe by the Kohanim, by Aaron HaKohen, but the point is that that's also reward, right? Which means you have to understand that even if a person, let's say, he would never do in a million years, who would eat an insect? I would not eat it. Who would eat it? So forth. It's disgusting. Or even the traces in that, or as the Rambam said, and so forth. The person gets schar for the exact mitzvah, even though I never would have done it anyway. Because it's disgusting to me. But since it's a mitzvah, I don't do it because the Torah tells me, I get schar for that mitzvah, and just mamash is a mitzvah that I did. Either if a person like Moshe Rabbeinu would never tell a lie, he would do it anyway, never that, but it's great. It would mitzvah, then Moshe, he gets the schar over here for doing the mitzvah, even though, like a person that would have told a lie, that doesn't tell. That concept. A person has to feel himself part of the community with his obligations. I want to bring a little mushroom, a classic mushroom parable. And of course, this, I think maybe we'll understand a little bit better what I'm saying. The mushroom is, there was a little town where there were two groups of people. There was a group of Talmidei Chachamim, Torah scholars, and there was a group of simple people that, you know, religious and so forth, but they're not at a high level, and very poor people. And the other people were pretty well off and so forth. When King Simchas Torah, dancing with the Torah and so forth, the rich element and the Chacham and so forth, they had a big barrel of whiskey. With, shaker, that they, in between the coffers, they would all take a drink, they would enjoy themselves. Well, the many of the poor people couldn't afford that. They didn't have any of these things. And wasn't that the... And they felt very disheartened in that particular way, but they also couldn't enjoy that. So one of the gabbai over there tells him, he says, you know what, he says, the people could also have it. Very simple, he says, take a barrel. And every week, every Shabbos, you have Kiddush in your house, you have a drop of whiskey, you do have. So for what you have, it's left over every Shabbos, take a little half ounce, an ounce that you have, and each one of you brings that in and puts it into the barrel. By the time it comes in Costello, you have a full barrel of whiskey. So I think it's a great idea. And they did it. And they couldn't wait the whole year. They filled up a whole barrel, and it came to Costello Costello. And they were dancing and told me that when they came after the first offer. So I said, come on, they went to all the drink. So they took a drink of the drink. They were shocked. It was water. They drank water. So what happened? They started to think. They saw that each guy thought, look, they're all putting in schnapps, whiskey. So what do these mean? I'll put a little bit of water. So why not? The trouble is everybody has a drink of wine. So they went to Sofiane and do it. It comes 10 times to do a mitzvah. I'm not doing it. I don't put that. I don't get it. He'll do it already. You don't want to do it. Each one says, I don't want to do it again, though. He brings in sukkah in this context. I mean, the sukkah. And when he gave the similar basis to waiver. So Hillel said, Im ani kan, hako kan. If I'm here, everybody is here. So he said, how does Hillel talk like that? He was a big owner of the humble humility of God. He didn't fit into Hillel's, what do you call it? So they said the meaning of whatever you want means, Hillel said, Im ani kan. If I am putting myself in over here, if I put the ani, if I am involved, is hakel kan, that everybody would do, each one puts his ani. If the ani is here, if the I is here, which means I don't rely on the other person to do the mitzvah, but the other person to bring the water for the super commission, and so forth. Then it cuts over here. And that's what Hillel says in this week's parable, starting Pirkei Avos, by the way. I hope everybody's going to learn Pirkei Avos. We'll probably speak each time on Pirkei Avos as well. This week will be the first parable, and Hillel says over there in the Mishnah, Yudalit, and he says, "It ain't I neely. If I don't do for myself, who's going to do for me?" That's your spiritual sense. It comes to the mitzvah. I neely. You can't say the other one to do for me. You have to do for yourself. And not only that, that if I do even for myself, but I speak to myself, that's me. Morni, I'm also a nothing. More means nothing. Morni, I'm also a nothing. You got to be together in the group, which means each, so to speak, ounce of whiskey that each one would put in would give the bottle of whiskey and so forth. My 1 ounce is not enough. And what I do for myself is also not enough. And even like, and if not for now, immediately, not to procrastinate, put it off. Amos, what are you going to do it? It won't get done. And it has to be done. Your actions have to do it. So see, that's already a concept over here, the initiation of the Mishkan, that we learn from here how a person has to approach an Aveira and how to approach a Mitzvah. First of all, that when it comes to the Aveira, to understand where my fault is, and constantly to realize it, to have it in front of my eyes, and make that correction. That the person has to recall, in a sense, what's wrong. The good things that you do, say Rosh Hashanah is brought down, after Zayka, the person who remembers calling his focus. You can forget about the good things that you do, or the mitzvahs that you have. After Zayka, you say the person, you remember the focus. What I have to remember is the Averus, the things that the iniquities I do, in order to correct myself, in order to show the remorse and regret, that particular sense, and to correct myself in that sense. And the same way, in a positive way, to be involved in as I say, Altifish Menatzibor. Again, Hillel says that. Fifth Mishnah and second parable. Hillel says, Altifish Menatzibor. Don't put yourself aside the table. Let them put in the whiskey. I put a drop of water. Each one has to have that achrayah, that responsibility, that you're part of the mitzvah. And you get the scar for that. And even if it's a simple thing and so forth, as Moshe Rabbeinu would have done it anyway, you still get the scar in that particular sense, and we need to be able to discuss that Moshe Rabbeinu had at that particular point. So I want to bring out this context, in this context over here, the as far as the mitzvah is concerned, and the avera that a person has, which we find by Aaron and Moshe over here by the Mishkan that particular day, and each one was punishing water in his own way, as we see when it says by Aaron Akhaye, the two sons, that was very part of his punishment, that the two sons were killed and so forth. In fact, in his father, he's supposed to lose all his children, but the other two remain, so forth. And it's brought down that by Edom Aharo. That happened, so forth, Aaron kept quiet, which means he accepted the din. He did not, in a sense, complain in any way, but he don't matter at that particular time. The expression, but he don't matter, we don't find any place. Normally, as commentaries ask, it should say, by Yasharish Aaron. Kept quiet. It's not by Yidom. Yidom comes from the word domain. This is what I want to say. And what I said, actually, I found now
your meeting ID, followed by pound. Meeting ID, you entered 9 8 4. This meeting ID does not exist. Please re-enter your meeting ID, followed by pound.